This morning we'll just start off by just revisiting some stories in the Word of God. And just think about this. A man was secured by the Roman army at one point and is brought before various rulers and in the various districts because he had been accused of many grievances before religious leaders and couldn't prove that in the courts that what he did was wrong. At some point, he decided to appeal to the highest ruler, which is Caesar. And in doing so, he wanted to have himself cleared of all his charges. He believed Caesar can be the final authority to clear his charges. Along the way, he was found innocent by one of the rulers. And because he had actually appealed to Caesar, he could not stop the process that was being declared at that time. So he went on to Caesar. In the end, he was beheaded. Here was an innocent man that's found guilty. He suffered for his consequences and never was he cleared of his charges. On the other hand, we read in the scripture of a woman who was thrown before the feet of Jesus, not really knowing that in the end that he would be her final judge in all eternity. But at that time, for her sins, by the law, she had to be stoned. But after a while, Jesus said unto her accusers in John chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And after a while, as Jesus was waiting, he said to the woman, "Where are thy accusers? And has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No, Lord." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more." And we can just think of the joy that woman felt when she left the presence of Jesus. Here was a guilty woman that was free of her charges, and she went home rejoicing. She did not suffer the condemnation of her sins. And then we have here another man in Scripture, declared Job, one of the oldest chapters in the books of the Bible we read, one of the oldest books, in a sense. God had looked upon him, and he said that his servant Job, there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Job ended up being afflicted with all manner of sicknesses. And we find there in a sense of the boils on his skin. And one day in his distress and being blamed, he said there in Job chapter 9 and verse 2, how should a man be just with God? Or how can a man be just with God? How can a mortal person, a human being, a man or woman, be right before God? And that's a question that Job asked in his distress. And the question goes out today, can we be made right before God? And we are here and there in the various church, and we know of the law. We know of the commandments. We know of the Bible. And clearly it says there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified. No flesh is free of guilt. No flesh is declared righteous. It says there, the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. And anyone who keeps the whole law and offends one is guilty of all. Can we be right before God by keeping our own righteousness? The scripture says there that in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. And then we think of the fact that in Romans, as Paul continued to write, we're all ungodly, and we have none of us have done anything good. No, not one. Paul continues to write and says, we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. and our sin is death. So, what did Abraham do? Way back in Genesis chapter 15, we had a little reading of Abraham this morning. And way back in Genesis chapter 15, we'll start reading shortly, but not this. Abraham was a man that was looking to God because he said, I didn't have any children. And God promised him that he would have children. And you can see all the stars of the heaven. You can number them. So shall your children be. And the Bible says there that Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. A guilty sinner before God. How can we be set free? Or how can we be innocent? Or how can we be declared righteous? John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It is simple. It is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like what Abraham did, he believed on the Lord Jesus by faith. He believed in God by faith, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, so we can have a right standing with God by believing on him. Today, our subject is about justification. We've been looking in the last time at some of the pillars of our salvation. We can see the blessing in which God has provided for us. The last time we looked at reconciliation, the idea that our Lord Jesus Christ is in the slave market of sin, inviting us all and calling us to come in and to exchange your life that you have right now, a sinful life, a life that's under the judgment and wrath of God, and you can come and get salvation and find peace with God and find a new life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can stand before God in heaven and be declared righteous. Today, we look at the word justification. The dictionary, in a strange way, I was shocked to see it says, it's called justification by faith theology, the act of God whereby humankind is made or accounted just or free from guilt or penalty of sin. And when we think of the Greek word, in the Strong's Concordance, for the word justification, it means to be righteous or declared righteous. It's almost like a judicial approval whereby you are properly and legally, in a sense, in an authoritative sense, you are shown that which is right, declared right, conformed to the proper standard. The believer is made righteous, justified, cleared of all charges related to their sins. And we used to hear the term justification meaning just like if we've never sinned, but it's actually more than that. In a sense, it's just like we never sinned from past, present, and future sins, but it's also we have been clothed in the righteousness of God. Not just we've been declared righteous, but we are declared righteous and clothed in the righteousness of God for all that those have believed on him. When we stand before God, before his presence, before his throne, we're standing in his righteousness, and we have accepted by him. What a wonderful position that we can have in before God at the present time. And in a sense, what is the opposite of justification? We just kind of read about it earlier. It's condemnation, right? Just like the woman in a sense that was caught in adultery, and she was thrown at the feet of Jesus, and she was to be stoned to death, but she went home not under judgment. We too can have the same blessing when we before the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Whosoever put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can have forgiveness, you can have justification, you can be made righteous. It's one of the blessings of salvation. So let's look in our scripture here. It shows up first in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Today we'll just examine the various ways in which we can be justified, in which we can be made righteous before God. And so, as we started out, but the man who was beheaded in front of Caesar, or as a result of not being justified by mankind, Paul himself wrote these words, and he was certainly justified by God. And he wrote the words in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. It says, being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord, that is in Christ Jesus. Let's just pray for a second. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we ask that your word of God be open unto us, that we can understand the truths that are within God's word. And may our hearts, O Lord, look unto you, O Lord, and just be thankful for what you have done, what you have done through your Son as we sung this morning. We can praise God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by, as we examine today, that we can be declared righteous before God because of one of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ had done for us. He took our sin and his blood was shed on the cross for us. We just thank you, O Lord, that we came here to just to hear God's word, be refreshed, and that we can walk out of here, O Lord, knowing that whatever our circumstance that we might be going through, that in the Lord Jesus Christ and standing before God, that we can be declared righteous because we have believed in you by faith. So we thank you now for this blessed time we have together. Teach us now, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Romans 3:24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And this word here is a sense that we can be justified freely. It doesn't cost us anything. We can be made righteous freely. It's given unto us. And it's freely given by the grace of God. God's grace. It is God showing his unmerited favor towards us. And we did not necessarily deserve it. We did not deserve it because we're all sinners. But we have here that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the work in which the Lord Jesus Christ had done on the cross. He gave himself for us. Redemption, the idea of being purchased from something. So we're purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the price paid for us that we can be saved from the slave market of sin. We think of the words in Paul as he wrote in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so God's grace appeared to us, and it teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful freedom that we have here in Jesus. We are freely justified by his grace, his work. And when we have been justified by his grace, we also can become heirs of the hope of eternal life. He also says there in Titus 3:7, being justified by his grace. Another example shows up in Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, just a couple verses down. It says there, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so when we're justified by faith, there is no boasting in ourselves. Nothing that we have done, nothing tangible, none of our observances are involved in justification. It is something that is done by faith and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on him, faith, justified by faith. It says there that if you just look at chapter 4 and verse 2, think of Abraham in Romans. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what the scripture said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there's no works involved. Again, no observances, no physical things that we have to do. It is done by simply believing in God, and we can have righteousness. Because if we do have the works, if we do things, we can, to say that we are justified, to say that we've been declared righteous, therefore we are boasting, so it is something I have done. And therefore, the scripture says, justification, being made righteous, is by faith, not by works, not by the things that you do. Here it is, the ungodly is now declared righteous by faith. We have here in Galatians chapter, we can turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Another aspect of justification, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith, of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, just a continuation, that we can be justified by faith of Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ. Galatians 3 says, no man, Galatians 3:11 says there that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that a just shall live by faith, and the law is not faith. We read also in verse 24, that the law was our schoolmaster, it was our teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We can be declared righteous, made righteous by faith. And it says there, but after faith came, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, under a teacher. So here it is, we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another aspect of our justification is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. It says here, much more then, being now justified or declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were once enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we have here that we can be declared righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were once enemies before God because of our sin. We were under condemnation. And now we have been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary many years ago. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 says that now in Christ, ye that were sometimes afar off are been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been close to God because of the work of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He paid our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ in 1 John 1:7 cleanse us from all our sin. We have been justified by the blood of Jesus. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. This is another aspect of justification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says there, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. You are declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're declared righteous again in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. When we think of the previous verses, whereby whatever our life was characterized by, or whatever our life that we lived by, or whatever things that we desired, the scripture says that now you've been washed, you've been purified in a sense. You've been completely atoned for the sins that you've had, and that you have been free from the guilt of sin. Once you have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then now it says you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. And now that you see that you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been declared righteous before God. We have a wonderful and before God and the Holy Spirit also, which is the source of our life. It helps us. So here the scripture says we've been justified, we've been made righteous by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of our justification is back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Romans 8:33. It says here, the scripture declares that our justification is by God. It says in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is God that justifieth. Verse 31 says that if God be for us, who can be against us? And then if you turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 8, we've been justified by God. We've been declared righteous by God. And if you turn to Isaiah 50 and verse 8 and 9, the verse says, he is near that justifieth me. Who will condemn? Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. So, this wonderful passage, in a sense, looks at it as it's really the work of God that can justify me. And if anybody can use the phrase, bring it on, as they say, we thank God that it is only the Lord that justifieth. The Lord God, he's our help. And we can find that if God be for us, who can be against us? The scripture says here that there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that Romans 8:1. We've been justified by God. Our next portion in scripture we have here is James chapter 2 and verse 24. James chapter 2 and verse 24. And here is a different aspect of justification. It says here, you see how then that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And here we're talking about, in a sense, the relationship to the people that's around us, mankind that's around us. Clearly, we've read all before that is our justification is by faith. It's by blood. It's not by works. And here this passage talks about the works of man that we are actually justified. And this is the difference in this particular passage, is that the evidence of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is in the things that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's seen by people, and so therefore they say the things you do is therefore right. So that's in a sense how people, just justifies you. So those are the aspects of justification that we have because of what the Lord has done for us. We can have it by faith, by grace, and so forth. If we can turn to Romans chapter 5, once again, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And we'll look something a little different, so that since we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be declared righteous before God, and that we have, when we declare righteous before God, we stand before his throne, clothed in his righteousness, in God's righteousness, and that we are not ashamed. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We would like to look at some of the blessings that we have when we were justified by faith. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One of the benefits we have here in that we've been declared righteous before God is that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians says that for Christ is our peace, Ephesians 2:14 declares. He is our peace. And in Ephesians 2:16 it says that he had reconciled both unto God in one body on the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. And he came and preached unto you that which were afar off. He preached peace unto us when we were afar off. We were no longer enemies before God, but now we're in a right relationship with God. A different kind of peace. Jesus said that in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about peace, and he giveth peace, and we also find that he is our peace. And we have here that one of the benefits that we have in being justified is that we can have a peace with God, no longer an enemy relation state. Another benefit we have is in verse 2. It says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And so we think of the fact that here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we can stand before God, before the throne of God as a believer. We can come to him knowing that once we have trusted in him, instantaneously we can receive and be declared righteous, we can be justified, and we know that the only way that we can have access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, in which is declared in John 14, verse 6. No one can come to the Father unless through me. So we can come and we can stand before God in his presence, in his grace, and we can have the grace of God there. And now, the third blessing is that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which is the second part of verse 2. We can rejoice in him because we can think of the glory of God when we can think of Jesus in his prayer before he left on earth. In John chapter 17 and verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There's oneness in a sense that people can see the evidence of the glory of God that has been given unto us. It says we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, 4. And we can see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, as we turn there, it says, moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. He declared righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So here is one of the blessings we have in justification is that we have peace, we have the grace, we can stand in the grace, we can rejoice also in the hope of the glory of God, we become glorified. And not only so, verse 3 says, but in a very strange way, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations. That's an interesting blessing that we can have with God when we have been justified, is to glory in tribulations. You know, and I have to go back, Paul in his writing in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says that no correction, you know, in the present moment seems joyous. No tribulation seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And we can think of the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, which he said there in Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking in a sense of the Beatitudes. And he says there in verse 10, he says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So we have here rejoicing and being exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so we have here that Jesus is even himself declaring that in our lives you sometimes will be persecuted. And we find here you'll have various tribulations. And we can think of Job in a sense. Even when God had looked upon him in Job and he said, here is that man, there's none like him on the earth. As God was talking to Satan at that time, declaring how Job was. He was an upright man, a perfect man, and one that feareth God and eschewed evil. And yet he endured great tribulation before God. We can think of others here, even in the assembly. We know of some that are going through various illnesses for years, trials for years. And we can find out that in the end, God is going to be glorified. These are glorified people receiving trials. So the scripture says here that we can glory in the tribulations. Glory in the tribulations. It says here, Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In 2 Corinthians 12:10. And he also says in Philippians, Paul writes, he says, that I have learned in whatever state I am, therein that I should be contented. So we have here the idea of glorying in the tribulations, knowing that a tribulation worketh patience. These tribulations we have worketh patience. And we have here that our patience, as a result of our patience, we have experience. We become patient, we become experienced, and the sense of the experience there is that we have endurance to survive the trials that we have here. It says, though, the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we have endurance here in the Lord Jesus Christ through his help. God helps us. And it says here, but be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. We have endurance. We have experience. And now we also have hope. And it says hope in verse 4 and 5 maketh not ashamed. It doesn't disappoint is what I found out those words mean. It maketh not ashamed. It doesn't disappoint. We have an expectation of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself We had that verse read this morning, who for the joy of this world, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. We have here a hope that we can have as a result of being justified. We have hope. And then we also find in there in verse 5, it says, "Not and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The love of God is poured out in our hearts. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise unto the praise of his glory. And so today, as we come to you and thank God for what he has done through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can be declared righteous by faith, and we can be declared righteous by his grace and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, and by God himself. We also see and saw that this Job, in a sense, who was a righteous man, was, even though he endured tribulations, he was still declared righteous by God. His question still goes out today to you and in our hearts as those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can a person be right before God? And you can be right before God by coming and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can stand before the throne of God of heaven, justified. We'll be declared righteous, and we should also be clothed in the righteousness of God. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your wonderful work that you've had through the Lord, you've done through the Lord Jesus Christ. We look unto you, O Lord, and praise you, O God, that we can be accepted before your throne. It's amazing, a sinner condemned to be accepted before the throne of God, standing in his grace, clothed in the righteousness of God. And we thank you for what you have done, because it was through the blood of Jesus Christ who gave himself on the cross for us. And we come and believed on you as we stood in the slave market of sin. We were able to exchange all our unrighteousness, all our sins, and before you, Lord, and you gave us eternal life. You've given unto us a joy and a peace that no one else in this world or no other thing could provide. And that we can stand before your throne, declared righteous, justified. So we praise you, God, again for your work. We thank you, O God, that we can have fellowship one with another, coming here and bearing one another's burdens in a sense, looking at one another's tribulations, praying for one another, encouraging one another, and most importantly, looking for that blessed hope, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and where we can actually one day see ourselves standing before God in his grace, justified, not as one under condemnation, but we thank God today that we can believe on you and stand to be declared righteous. And so, Lord, bless this week as we go forward. We ask, O God, that you would give us strength from day to day. Help us to be encouraged to draw near to you. Help us to be encouraged as we go through the battles that we face, that these things are indeed temporary. And we ask, O God, that you would give us a strength as we live day by day, one day at a time, for you, Lord. We pray this now in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.